All right, go ahead.
Call the meeting to order. Approve the minutes of the last meeting as presented. So moved. All in favor? Oppose? Okay. Resolution 30, authorizing the chairman of the legislature to enter agreements with the villages of Ellenville, New Paltz, and Saugerties relating to enforcement of real property tax liens under Article 11, Section, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, of the New York State Real Property Law Department of Finance. I really don't know what they do, but...
I'll move it.
They collect
the erroneous taxes, right?
Any
gives
discussion?
Us the authority to collect the delinquent taxes from the...
But they don't pay. They don't make them good. So what do they do? And they don't collect the village taxes. They only help them with the county taxes. And, well, any discussion? I guess this is a pro forma thing that you've done for years.
Yes, status quo. I mean, how else are you going to do it?
I don't really know. Well, if, not to go backwards a little bit, but if we had done for the villages what we do for the towns and school districts, this wouldn't be an issue anymore.
No, but
the county would collect it.
Right. The villages are under a different type of charter, though.
We're one of the only counties that don't make good on it. They're supposed to have the authority to put liens on. Well, they can.
And collect.
They
them.
Do, but they don't have the staff to go to foreclose people.
Right.
And, well, we might as well move the question. There's no discussion.
Aye.
By saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Carried. Okay. Now, that's the only resolution pending here. But we do have a local law that requires review of projects in excess of $1 million to have a project labor agreement. We have a couple of projects in Ulster County that are either coming up or in their infancy, and they're thinking about them. And I, going backwards, I haven't heard of anybody following this resolution for contracts in excess of $1 million. And it's a requirement. So I think what we have to do is write to the purchasing director, ask him if what they're doing with it, write any of the aggrieved parties who may or may not support project labor agreements, and if it's not a good idea, we have to repeal it, or if it's a good idea, they have to follow it. Manager?
My question is, why the strikeout for the $500,000 and the million written in?
Well, it may be sometime along the way. It was changed.
Okay.
To a higher amount.
Okay.
The only thing I've ever seen is Resolution 319, October 11th, 2001, that says projects in excess of $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we're not going to do it, then the legislature has to repeal it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's incumbent upon the purchasing department, and they're doing contracts on the family court, they're doing contracts on a rail trail, that are not regular maintenance things, you know, mm-hmm. with their own work. So I have gotten some stuff in the mail from folks that like project labor agreements, and
mm-hmm.
There's nothing to do about this right now, other than if you have a discussion and want to talk about it.
I don't quite understand it. Are we talking about like prevailing wage?
No.
Laws?
Well, it is a prevailing wage, but it's a project labor agreement.
Well, is that any different than a contract?
That's part of a contract.
You know, because I can see the first resolve, to me, you know, is just kind of ambiguous, but the second resolve basically states that the appointed department heads of Ulster County shall report to the full legislative body of Ulster County as to the feasibility of using project labor agreements for each specific project, which recommendations will therefore be subject to review and ratification by the legislature.
Correct.
That's never happened, but I don't know if I could understand what the project labor agreement is unless I read it.
Well, some thoughts on project labor agreements. I've got a bunch of stuff. I'll send them out to you to read. I mean, what they do is they sort of require, then I guess, that the people hired in the project are out of the union halls. And they often make sure that there's, in the contract, is sufficient staff, so there's no job shortages or no job slowdowns or strikes, that they have to live by whatever the code is.
I like that in the first resolve to explore and consider using project labor agreements to reduce construction costs, avoid delay claims.
Well, I'm sure they weren't going to put in something just juxtaposed to that, to increase costs significantly. And
right, because the local law last year that I put in would actually delay claims if the aggregate amount of the contract exceeds, I thought it was 10% of the total capital project, and that would put the brakes on it and it'd have to come up for a vote.
Well,
so that's delaying claims.
Do you know, John, have you asked the executive's department if they've done any, have they had any project labor agreements, or have they done any reports to the legislature like this?
Not that I know.
Really?
Not that I have been able to find.
And it looks like the $1 million has changed.
Well,
based on
this thing, there was a piece of paper just passed around.
Can we look at that, John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Project 319, October 11th, 2001.
I haven't heard yet.
The only one I ever saw was this one. Maybe this was the finished product.
But, I mean, the last further resolve says that $1 million would change every year based on the consumer price index. So it could be a little higher, but certainly we've had a whole bunch of projects that fall in this realm.
Correct.
No question.
But right now, it's very evident. We do have a couple.
Oh, for sure.
The rail trail.
Yeah.
And the family court. Family court's going to be $10, $12, $15 million, whatever the amount is when it's done. And this does call for a review.
Right.
Doesn't mandate
it. And a report. Right, exactly.
So I think we have to write to the purchasing director, the people that take care of that, and ask them where they stand. Are they negotiating with the folks that would come up and be signees to the project labor agreement? And, you know, being all honesty, they're liable to do their research and find they can't afford it.
Right, but that wouldn't stop them from saying it would cost, you know, you do that report and then you say to the legislature, if we go with a PLA, it's going to cost this much more, which is why we're not recommending it.
Right.
But
you have to have the figures.
But you have to go through the process.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, as Carl just pointed out, the whereas says it's going to reduce costs, so.
Is there any way you think that would the purchasing department come to your committee and would the purchasing department come to your committee and talk to your committee about it? I mean, I think this is a good catch. I mean, how would we even know this existed?
I don't know how I stumbled upon it. Maybe Jay found it for me, or maybe
still, that's important.
Or maybe I did with some of my friends who I get to know who are bulldozer operators and whatever, and they said, you know, we had this arrangement, we worked hard, and they've ignored us ever since.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's why you created this committee, right? I mean, I wonder often how we go back to things that have passed 15, 20 years ago and keep them relevant if we've all forgotten that they even exist.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So that's, yes, ma'am.
I think that we should do both, that we should write to the purchasing department who drafts these contracts, and also invite them to come to the committee so that
we can be the purpose of writing letters. Say, where are you? And let us know.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to come to the committee first to say, whatever they say. Oh, we didn't know it was in existence, or we don't want to do it, or whatever the deal is.
So
there's something.
So I don't. What I don't understand is, so we get a project that we put out RFPs for, and the purchasing department, along with perhaps maybe some legislators, or if not, just a group of people who score them, and someone wins the contract. Someone wins the project, and then contracts, you know, are made and signed. So then after that, there should be a project labor agreement signed?
It's before that.
Before that, for each project, before it goes out to bid?
I really believe so, because that then stops any labor strife and ensures, from what I understand, ensures adequate number of trades per people.
And it covers all the trades. It covers, I mean, that's what I remember kind of from the jail, that it covers, because we had discussed it, it covers all the trades that are on, and it only lasts as long as the specific project.
Right.
It's not something that stays with the county.
Then it disappears.
Now, but who's the authority for the labor agreement? The county?
Say that again?
Who?
The county.
Right.
The county.
So the county is the enforcer of the agreement? The Public Works Department?
Well, I do know when, in the past, it was the chairman of the legislature who entered into agreement, and then they were responsible for the arbitrator or whatever discussions they had.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure what happens in the contract, and I'm, listen, I don't know. There's arrangements, and if there's a dispute, they have to bring it to somebody.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we ask the county executive and the purchasing agent to supply us with all the labor contracts since this resolution, October 11, 2001.
Why don't we just ask them what they mean?
What they what?
What they mean, to define it. Because I think one of the problems I'm having is when we bid something as a county or municipality, it's prevailing wage. So I don't know how you change prevailing wage, how you can make an agreement not to pay prevailing wage.
I don't think that's anything to do with
it. It's against the law. Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. So I want to know, I'd like to know what a project labor agreement is. I mean, do we sit down with Local 302 and say to them, okay, we need a bridge built, but we need you to hook us up. But then we use, once we use taxpayer money, as far as I know, it says prevailing wage. So how can the Local 302 suddenly say, well, we'll pay our union guys $75 an hour, even though prevailing wage is $95 an hour?
No, that's not the way.
I know, but I don't think anybody really has the true answer here. So, you know, we can get the contracts, which is great, but tell me what they mean by
we can try to get the, we can do
labor.
Both of those things. Right. Bring the people into our next meeting. But on top of it, there's things happening right now that we have to resolve, either yes or no.
Can I?
Yes.
I just found, and I sent it to you, Jay. Cornell did a whole article or report on PLAs, and just to what TJ, there's a summary where it says, a typical PLA provision includes collectively bargained wage rates and fringe benefit payments are incorporated into the PLA, negotiated changes in the journey level apprentice ratios, no further negotiations on wages or benefits are conducted for the life of the agreement, work schedules and other terms are made uniform among crafts, hiring is conducted through a union referral procedure, exclusive representation is granted to the appropriate labor organization. So it's very pro-union, not to undercut.
That's not necessarily true. You can have a non-union shop. I have a friend of mine who has a big excavation company.
Right.
He's a non-union shop. But when he bids on these things, he pays prevailing wage. So he has to bid it at prevailing wage. What's happened with a lot of these big companies is they bid it all at prevailing wage, then they don't pay their guys prevailing wage. But how? What I want to know is, can we then say to Local 302, look, we're doing this thing, but we really need to come in at $3 million? And the way we look at it, it's going to be $3.5 million, so we need you guys to take less. I don't know. I don't know if that's legal. I don't think it is.
I always thought that it had to do with primarily, I mean, establishing all these beginning things across
this
all the trades,
Tracy,
but also also saying that there can be no strikes. Like, you agree in advance that there's going to be no strikes, that there's going to be no walkouts, that there's all these terms. And then when you go out to bid, all that stuff in the PLA is in the bid package.
Right.
So when they go to bid, everybody knows it's already all on the table. Now, some of our projects, like John said, some of our projects, and certainly some of the ones that have happened between 2001 and now, might not be appropriate for a PLA, but I think it's an important point that we're not even hearing whether I don't know if anyone's discussing it.
Or if we've even had one.
I haven't even heard a PLA discussed.
I have never heard one. But look, I'll try to do what you asked to get the contracts. But in the meantime, we have to find out exactly what it means for the next two or three coming down the road.
Right. Yeah.
Now, did you read?
That might be what I was reading from.
From Cornell University?
Yeah.
Okay, you have that? You have a copy of this?
I don't.
I just saw it and I thought, I didn't know if you had.
Oh, you saw it?
Just maybe.
Because these are the things
link
that I can send out to everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, I've got a bunch of things to read, and advocates will maintain that it creates law and order, and it saves time and energy, it saves money, and it helps projects get built on time and on budget.
Sounds like I'm not here to argue. Narrow that. The field, though,
huh?
Because it could narrow the field, though, too. Because if you put stipulations in the agreement, no strikes, no this, no that, perhaps certain companies wouldn't bid on it. Because how can they tell their
the union signed
that they can't strike?
The union signed it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
the union signed it.
Yeah. Maybe that's why it's not utilized.
Right.
One other thing, maybe just in terms of getting that second to last resolved, the $1 million with the annual price adjustment, maybe someone can run those price adjustments so we know what that number's at now.
Yeah. You mean run the cost of living increases?
Yeah, over 15 times. I'm
be
not
my
saying,
guess.
I'm just saying there must be someone who knows how to do that.
Maybe my good friend with the LLBs and the LGKs can do it, but I can't.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
The internet has a calculator.
Somebody must have the calculator to do it.
Hello?
$1 million in 2011.
Yeah.
And then $1 million in 2012.
30.
Well,
you'd have to do it every year.
But then there was a moment when the number been able to be here. Good thing it's not.
I think the
number
doesn't change.
To move on past this, there's nothing to do with it other than the fact to get the information. What you asked for, I will write. What you suggested with the folks to come to the meeting and also to tell them that the provisions of this are in effect, and they have to be negotiating with somebody, talking to somebody, developing the figures to be presented to the legislature.
If I could, this is an important issue for the Working Families Party. They ask that question very specifically, and I think the distinction is that with prevailing wage, there's an equivalent. But with the project labor agreement, they really want to see the unions included in the agreement. And I think that's the main difference. But you're right. We have to get a clear... Don't take my word for it. That was, a while back, and I'm not an expert on this.
We can find out. I mean, that's the only thing I can do.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really feel like inviting people in and going, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
But.
Get a can opener before you open the can of worms.
I tried cocoa
nope.
button, but
no,
I can't
like
get them open anymore.
Roll the
tin foil
to close the can. You open it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. But thanks for finding this.
The only thing. Did you see this?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll get these things out to everybody pronto. The only other thing, folks, that I want to mention that was disappointing to me was that as a result of a number of studies that I run into, for instance, the ACE report, I don't know if any of you saw, the Alice report about housing in Ulster County, mm-hmm. and a number of other reports from the Pattern for Progress right here, beyond gentrification and what it's doing. And I thought we were going to at least be able to move forward with a housing study to find out, because it is an affordability problem in Ulster County that's stifling jobs. Well, we lost 11-11, so we have to decide, well, individually or collectively. I just think we can't ignore this because it's not good. Whether it be affordable housing, whether it be workfare housing, or outside of the city of Kingston and maybe Ellenville, I do know down where the chairman, or former chairman, Mr. Gerentine, is a pretty good availability for seniors. But I can tell you in a lot of the areas that my trading area, it's not good at all.
No. It's not good at all.
Huh?
And they don't want it to be.
Airbnb.
No, I'm talking about for seniors now.
Some, give me something like me.
Well, you know, can't split wood anymore.
It's funny that, now, what I remember is that you put a budget amendment in to do a study. Now, that failed the committee. That failed Ways and Means.
No.
It never got to the legislature.
I don't think so.
It made it through Ways and Means, and then
oh, it did.
The legislature
oh,
voted
okay. All right.
down Ways and Means.
You were a sponsor of it.
Yeah, I was co-sponsor.
Yeah, and then you voted no.
Yeah.
I'm going,
all right.
Do I see him in the alley in the back, or do I wait for a little while?
I think you were the deciding vote.
Well, how about this?
Honestly, I think you were the deciding vote.
Like the guy said about Ted Cruz, do it in public. Nobody will testify against you.
How about this? All right.
And you know, our
we've got this community block grant thing that's been stifled in committee that actually pays RUPCO to do exactly what you're asking, sort of. They're getting money for housing. Why don't we have a meeting to just bring the developers to the table? Because they obviously know what's going on and what's not going on. Maybe there isn't a market for new senior housing or new building.
Oh, there's definitely a market.
Most of these places use federal money.
You know, we could try to do any of that.
Because
the
RUPCO
people were here.
We can't commission a study.
You were in Buffalo or somewhere when they came to us, RUPCO.
No, right. I was in Buffalo.
Said they're not even looking into that stuff. They're just dealing with the continuum of care stuff, and they don't care about. They're not involved with. I don't want to say they don't care. Yes, ma'am.
Originally, when we first brought this up, it was to resolve a piece of legislation that was called a consortium but had morphed into a continuum. And we asked them to give us recommendations so we could resolve that, you know, this is a committee that looks back at things that are no longer working. And they didn't. And that is disappointing to me, especially given the fact that, you know, most of the community block grants end up going to RUPCO. And I think they do a really good job. But we, representatives of the legislature, ask these housing groups to give us their recommendations, since they have some expertise, on that resolution. And I don't believe we ever heard back from
them. Well, some of this is the result of it, though. You know, this is the pattern for progress.
Okay.
Here's a big study that came out that just shows the tightness of the market, or the lack of a market. And our good friend Rich, the chairman of the Ways and Means, always said, John, I want you guys to do this during the budget process. Do it during the budget process. So we go to the budget process, and then down the tubes, and then he said, well, we'll make it work. I go, okay, Rich. Yes.
I think, and Manna, to that consortium, if I recall when we were talking about this both in Ways and Means and after, wasn't it that the consortium was not actually even functional? Like they have a website that says consortium, but it hasn't been updated in
That's
6
right.
years or something.
Because
so you couldn't even reach people to say, give us your...
No, they were
And they
here.
Explained why they got out of
were?
It. They explained why they moved
the
away.
The continuum is here. More focused on homelessness. That was my understanding. But housing is a much bigger issue. Not that homelessness isn't critically important.
Right.
But housing is a much bigger issue, and it was a very specific request. Give us your input on this piece of legislation so we know whether to modify it or how to modify it to resolve that question. And I have to say, and I will say it to them directly, to the people that attended that meeting, that it's disappointing to me that they didn't follow up. We had the courtesy of inviting them, asking them, and I think that on that specific piece, the study is a bigger question, and I believe I voted for it.
You did.
Before you run into Mr. O'Connor or Kathy Germain.
Yes.
She did call, but we haven't met. She apologized for them not getting back, but she's not totally
She hasn't just blown it off.
No, but what she said was they were having they have an annual continuum of care meeting. Unfortunately, it was in January, and we didn't meet. She said that she was going to bring up the letter and the request from the legislature for the continuum to discuss.
Thank you.
And then she was going to get back to us. She still hasn't, and that meeting was in January. So I will
follow
up with her, but she said she was going to put your request on the agenda for the continuum to discuss.
Yeah.
But it definitely didn't sound like it was a movement back towards a continuum.
The consortium.
A consortium partner for the continuum. So I will follow up with her. I just don't want you to run into her on Wall Street.
And if I remember
correctly, give her a piece of your mind.
Some of their conversation was the complexity of what they're doing is so different that they had to concentrate on something in particular and very tangible, and that's
sober housing. That's what they were. That's what they're focusing on. RUPCO, sober housing.
Sober housing, but you know that's.
I wasn't there at the meeting, but
the meeting
prior to the one,
because
I was at NYSAC. I remember them talking about it.
But didn't they walk back away from the sober housing because of the problems with it? You know, you're talking about the Narcan thing, where they talked about sober housing, and I think they walked back a little bit because of the potential political problems.
I gotta tell you, you want to come
into a community with that, you're going to be fighting for.
They knew that
for 8 years.
They mentioned that everybody, you know. I mean, there's one in my town, but it's a cash cow. Why are they building these?
Building
with state money.
Most people don't build them to lose money, Carl.
Federal
money.
No, I understand
that. You think Joel Mendelbaum is losing money on
No.
You think Rich Gerentine is losing money?
That's not my point. My point is that whatever the market will bear, that's what these people are concerned about. They're not concerned about the homeless or anybody else. They're concerned about what the market
will
bear.
Too?
And where the profits are.
When you have one of those little cards that says, like, Empire Plan on it, you know, when you have good insurance, because they pay for a lot of this stuff.
Listen.
I mean, last week I went to Burgess of Esopus, one of my longtime constituents, wanted to look and see what was there, and they told me there was only three person waiting list. And she's moving in on the 15th.
Can you point at you, Jay?
So I don't know, you know, where
you
the
know
shortage
what,
is.
What Jay said from Miss Germain is
that does have to go
is where we're going with it. But if you can remember the conversation, they didn't enunciate on it loudly, but their experience in trying to bring affordable housing to the community that advocates affordable housing for everybody, Woodstock, lasted 8 years and took the heart right out of them. And even now with the Alms Building, there's a little bit of a, I don't know what's going on with it. And they, you know, so I think that's a little bit why they didn't abandon the sober housing, but I think they walked back a little bit to find out where the, you know, which way the wind's blowing and what the atmosphere is talking about.
Well, I can tell you in Ellenville, I've met with the housing authority and, you know, the government's killing them because, you know, prices go up and the feds are taking more and more money away from, like, Section 8 and folks like that. And they're probably going to put in for a block grant just to try to. We have 199 Canal, which is a senior housing that I've been advocating for probably 10 years as president of the First Aid Squad. We can barely fit two people in the elevator, let alone a cot. So if you live on the second floor and you have a heart attack, hopefully you went to church on Sunday, because that's the only thing you got is God on your side, because you don't have anything else on your side. And so they're going to try to just get some money and put a real-life elevator in it and a couple of things. But they're struggling. Yeah. They're struggling. The government's killing them.
That's why we need to think about this study, et cetera.
And we have plenty of affordable.
Do you have something you wanted to...
About that in particular.
Anything in particular, everything in general? Is that what you said?
No, about the consortium.
No, you're here. I mean, we have no resolution for you. Is that me?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You have another resolution. Are you just not going to talk about the other one?
Which one?
It's on here. The appointing a special committee to draft the proposed local law and or policy for capital projects oversight.
It's 260, not 26, too. That's my fault. Okay. It's in your packet.
Yeah,
what are we doing with...
Well,
I'm curious what came out of that committee. 260. I mean, two members of the committee are here, so...
This is the one that was
the committee never met.
It never met. So we might as well start again, if in fact that's something to do. Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. What did you call it?
I met a couple times.
Once. With just Terry and...
I don't think you ever had a quorum, did you?
Afraid to be
For
arrested.
Once it was appointed,
it wasn't a real meeting. It was just, what do you call it? Like a start of...
You were thinking it, though.
An interim, or what do you call it? What an agenda could look like. But what happened was that... they started over. I don't want to go into names, but somebody started overreaching, and they were trying to make the executive branch do things that it didn't want to do. You know, instead of concentrating on what the legislature should do for themselves, and so it just dissipated. But you should ask Dean Fabiano. I think he probably remember it better.
And on that subject, you know, what came out of the jail investigation was a recommendation that we create one of these committees for capital projects. Of course, that was pre-executive charter. But I think it's worth having a discussion, kind of what Tom just said, having a discussion about what we as a legislature need to do in terms of having our own committee and how our committee can interface with the executive's office, all taking into consideration what's allowable in the chart, but within the charter, because I think it's not simply enough that the projects have come in the last few years on time and on budget. It's a question to me of a bigger issue of what happens when the proverbial you know what hits the you know what, which if we're not, you know what I mean, if we're not actually prepared and we haven't been involved through a process of having some kind of interface and oversight, even though the function of government has changed, I think we need to explore that. So I was happy to see that this is on here even to just talk about.
You mentioned before where a resolution, they forgot a resolution in the past, and then now, you know, something didn't happen. There was a resolution before the jail that had a bunch of stuff that the legislature was supposed to adhere to that everybody forgot about. And that's what happened to the UCLEC.
And one of them was this, basically.
But they did have a PLA on the jail.
But, you know, the one thing that people forget about the jail is even though it went over cost or whatever the case may be, you know, it's like years ago when you used to be able to order options in a motor vehicle. You know, you got a Rotunda. That may have cost you $6 million. But you got what you paid for. Did you need it is the question. So when people look at, you know, it's kind of like you get your new car and, oh my God, it's $300 for an AM/FM radio. Mm. Well, I didn't need an AM/FM. No, but it cost you an extra $300 and you got it. So a lot of the jail cost were things that you got that cost a lot more money, like the Rotunda and things of that sort. So it's not just that, you know, it went in at $80 million and it came out at 106.
Oh, it went in at 50.
But there was
came out at 95.
$80 million in late fees.
That
was strictly because.
Yeah, we got $3.52 back from them on that, didn't we?
But you know, like maybe if the legislature would hire their own lawyer to look at the contracts, you could make it that what do you call it, where the bottom contractor would be basically responsible for the delays and could afford to pay off, We had a guy, you know, just a local guy that could not afford to pay those guys, that kind of money, and therefore the county became responsible.
Yes.
If the legislature hired their own lawyer to make sure that, you know, more or less, litigation proof.
Tom, you're absolutely right, but I can tell you, if you remember back then, once this started to unfold with Rich and me and others, and sometimes, you know, working in a tavern, restaurant, or gin mill, you meet some wonderful people who were superintendents or project managers. And the one fellow who I know, gotten to know very well, said he had been working on a job in Cincinnati, Arrowhead Stadium. It was supposed to be two stadiums, one for the football team and one for the baseball team. And the county allocated the money for it. But once they got down the road, they found out that the architect and the county were very good friends. And when they wanted extra boxes, they just included them in it. And it just escalated the cost. So to this day, there's only one stadium. So there's the things like that all mattered. My point kind of is, except Jay helped find this. I didn't know this was even around till what, 2-3 weeks ago?
For 260?
This thing.
Yeah, and this.
And once I saw it, I've been on this stuff for 10 years. But I didn't know that.
The report from the committee that investigated the overruns speaks to the resolution that almost exactly mirrors this. The resolution back, you know, 20 years before the jail that said there would be an oversight committee made up of Ways and Means and Public Works, and the legislature at the time just didn't follow it.
Didn't follow it.
Only certain people knew what was going on. So I think the idea of us codifying some kind of policy, whatever is allowable and legal, you know, within the confines of the charter, is a great idea. I think we should.
We can do it. And, you know, if I may say, I studied as little as I could, but or I tried anyway, to study what they do in Congress and other places. And that's what this committee sort of is, an umbrella thing to even go further. And I prevailed on the chairman to say, look at efficiency and oversight review. Nobody does it. And we have somewhere here that thick of local laws and policies, many of which are not even adhered to. Mm-hmm. And so we go through it, bring it up. If it's no good, let's repeal it. If it is good, let's find out if it is, if it has to be amended. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. For a major project, I don't even know if it should be inside a given committee. You know, let somebody else think about that. But there's no question that there should be more oversight of that. Just so whatever does happen, people are aware of it.
Exactly.
It doesn't necessarily stop something, but, you know, I can still remember the day I was talking and somebody said it's going to be about $86 million. And you guys were going into a meeting, and the guy said, well, you'll hear in a few minutes, and Richie said, $86 million. The guy said, oh, God, I guess there's a mouse in a room somewhere. So I will
make a motion to
adjourn.
Second.
Because I guess these guys are looking to get rid of us here. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Carry them.